ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, 6 minutes after the hour, we have a jam-packed celebrity and newsmaker hotline today. Max Blumenthal, author of Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party.
Yeah, that's a great book.
T and then a he. Terry O'Sullivan, president of the Laborers International Union of North America, the mama just spoke to in Orlando a couple of weeks ago. Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, and also comedian John Fugelsang. It's a jam-packed celebrity and newsmaker hotline.
Great.
So jam-packed?
Yes, in that
eventually,
case, yes. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller, like Tommy did with an episode of... Steph, the New York Times CBS poll, presidential approval rating at 56%, the public option favored by 65% of the people polled. Republican numbers across the board remain brutal, especially on health care and bipartisanship. More Americans are starting to credit the president's stimulus package with having helped to revive the economy, and Mr. Obama retains a decided advantage with the American public over Republicans on key issues, starting with health care.
Mm.
Once again, I say... Tommy writes, P.S. I hope Glenn Beck and Michelle Bachmann are happy with themselves linking census workers to Acorn and some sort of government data bank so Obama can control the country through his use of czars. Or
yeah.
To answer that question, no, they have no shame.
No.
If that was actually a question. It's Friday, you know what that means. What? Time for Drunk Stack.
Hooray!
Woo! You know, it's people that make Mama feel like she has less of a... Well, I don't have a problem, I have a solution. I have a drinking solution.
Sure.
And this could also be future husband list. I love the Frenchman. A Frenchman was arrested for drunk driving after taking his car to a police station to distribute AA pamphlets there.
That's not the Auto Club. That's,
Perhaps he was confused. Uh-huh. How about this? A Dorset prison has removed antibacterial hand gel pumps after an inmate is thought to have gotten drunk drinking from them.
Oh, God. That's not the right kind of thing.
It's believed the gel was mixed with a drink before it was consumed. I don't know what a good mixer is for bacterial gel.
That's the wrong kind of alcohol entirely, isn't it?
That's a jello shot of sorts, I suppose.
God.
Pla.
Wow.
Pla. Let's check some...
Not even that French guy would go for that.
No. Uh-uh.
Let's check some entertainment news.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story. Elizabeth Taylor wants to be buried alongside Michael Jackson.
Oh.
The 77-year-old actress was close friends with the late pop icon and wants her final resting place to be alongside of Michael at Los Angeles Forest Lawn Cemetery. A source said after sitting through Michael's funeral service at the Great Mausoleum with its magnificent stained glass windows and replicas of Michelangelo's artwork, she later told friends, I felt a sense of peace there I've never experienced before. Well, that's how you know you're maybe not feeling so great. Mm. You know, this place rocks. Great. Elizabeth is said to be searching for a plot next to Michael. What's that? Do we have
Richard Burton from Heaven. Yes.
From Heaven. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Lizzie. You've got to be f***ing me. I was the love of your life, for f***ing sake. Glad I made the top five, at any rate. I know I was bloody most of the time, but WTF, Michael Jackson. He's just a radio host, an AM radio host at that. Pleasant enough chap, I'm sure, but hardly the caliber of an international superstar, such as yourself. Yes, Lord?
Hey, Dick, didn't I tell you to lay off the hooch? I'm cutting you off, pal. She's talking about the other Michael Jackson, you know, the singer...
You mean the skinny kid walking backwards on the clouds?
That's the one.
Oh, I see. What's happened to his nose?
Long story. You don't want to know.
Oh, well, that's all right, I guess. Sorry, Liz. See you up here soon.
God, he's very gruff.
He is. Richard Burton's even drunk in heaven. Wow.
Well, it wouldn't be heaven if he couldn't be drunk.
Well, that's true.
What was his famous line, every man should have an opportunity to sleep with Elizabeth Taylor and the rich? He's going, every man will.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
They both were so good in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, was that a good movie.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. TheSuperficial.com, one of our favorite purveyors of the celebrity snark.
Uh-huh.
With the headline, David Hasselhoff takes teenage daughter to sex shop.
Oh God.
Great.
Apparently, it's up Father's Week on the Superficial. Because here's David Hasselhoff taking his 17-year-old daughter, Haley, to an erotic sex shop or a lingerie show last night. I'm assuming this is some sort of psychological revenge for her calling 911 the other day for his quote-unquote ear infection, which had to make for a great car ride home. Celebrity, by the way, the Superficial.com, they've included a little, I think it's a, maybe it's fictional. It's a little...
editorial comment, maybe?
No, it's a little dialogue between the Hoff and the Haley. Hoff, did you see the way the lingerie accentuated the sips from flask? I love... You got to make sure you show a man you to get him to like you.
That, oh.
Right in his face. Haley, vomit, vomit, vomit. I'm a lesbian now, vomit. Hoff, and that's why you let Daddy go on a 5-day bender. Now grab the wheel, I'm taking a nap. We have the actual Hoff, I believe.
Hey, Kit, I'm taking Haley to a sex shop to watch a lingerie show.
I would say I'm shocked, but nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to your harebrained ideas. Are you angling for the John Phillips Parenting Award? I think you're a shoo-in.
I just want her to look sexy for her man.
She's 17. Is this to get back at her for calling 911 when you had had alcohol poisoning?
Hey, I was doing fine. I can handle it.
Your liver begs to differ.
You know, I was thinking.
Always a bad idea.
I think Haley and I should do dinner theater revival of The Sound of Music. You are 16, going on 17.
You're going to go to jail. That's it. I'm taking you back to the foundation so you can dry out.
Can we use the turbo boost?
Of course we can use the turbo boost if it makes you happy.
But I thought you said the whole Knight Rider thing is a fig Newton of my imagination.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, a fig Newton of your imagination. Go to sleep now.
Okay. You're the best kid.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends, Lavender Pit, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, with some thoughts on drinking hand sanitizer. Hello, Lavender.
Hello, Mama. Hello, Mooks.
Yes.
I bought some pomegranate-flavored hand sanitizer. Should we send that off to the women's prison?
Thank you, Lavender.
Pomegranate?
It's full of antioxidants.
Oh, God.
Okay, this is maybe not surprising. Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne can often be found wearing items from each other's wardrobes. Ozzy's particularly keen on donning Sharon's jackets. Ozzy gets so confused about which clothes are whose, he ends up putting on the first thing he grabs. He's always wearing Sharon's jackets, which she likes to buy on the larger size.
I like your jacket, Sharon. My man boobs are almost as big as yours. I don't think I can fit into your skirt, so...
He always does look like he just stumbled through a closet
in
a drunken stupor. Just whatever fell on him.
Right.
Okay, that's good. All right. Oh, dear God, must we? More Mackenzie Phillips.
God, there's more?
I believe, though, who is it? Oh, China Phillips is going on Oprah now.
Today.
Yes.
That's going to happen today.
Yes.
Yes.
She and Mackenzie both canceled on The View. I don't know why they didn't think they might handle that in the most delicate fashion.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck was... All she'd do is just judge them.
Oh, so you're from Hollywood. You're liberals, aren't you? Okay. Right. Okay, Mackenzie Phillips. Two of her stepmothers have disputed the controversial news. Let's see. I am stunned by Mackenzie's terrible allegations against her father, said Genevieve Phillips, who was married to John Phillips from 1972 to 85.
I think mother of Bijou Phillips.
Oh, thank you for that.
The actress Bijou Phillips.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I would often... That's just strange that you knew that. I didn't even know there was a Bijou Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's what the kids are watching nowadays.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's your job.
Yeah, you wouldn't know about Bijou Phillips.
She's Generation Y.
I would often complain to John about her overly familiar attitude towards him, and he would tell me that was just her way. John was a good man who had the disease of alcoholism and drug addiction. He was incapable, no matter how drunk or drugged he was, of having a relationship with his own child. Michelle Phillips.
Well, apparently he did have a relationship with his own child. What?
Michelle Phillips, was his wife from 1962 to 70.
She's apparently very angry.
Really?
Yes, very angry. Hmm.
She said Mackenzie told her the news in 1997 and then said she was joking. That doesn't seem like something you would... She called me back and said, you know I'm joking. Michelle said it wasn't funny. Mackenzie said, I guess we have a different sense of humor. Okay. John was a bad... He was a bad parent and a drug addict, but...
Other than that.
His own daughter... If she thinks that true, why isn't she with a good psychiatrist on a couch? I think it's unconscionable that Oprah would let her do the show. Oh, she threw Oprah under the bus here, too.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, she didn't.
You don't do that.
Oh, no, she didn't. I have every reason to believe it's untrue. Oprah should be more judicious about who she has on her show. Mackenzie has a lot of mental illness. She's had a needle stuck up her arm for 35 years. She was arrested for heroin and coke just recently. She did celebrity rehab, and now she writes a book. The whole thing is timed. You know, I have a good friend that's a friend of hers. I should find out what the deal is.
Hmm. She did celebrity rehab?
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
All right. You know, Mama has a birthday coming up. Oh, someone on the live blog said happy 97th birthday, Mama.
Yes, on Tuesday, correct?
No, don't speak.
Today is Hal Sparks' birthday.
I know it.
Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
We're Libra soulmates. That's what it is. No wonder.
Yeah, but you still won't do them.
Well, now that I know he's a Libra, it's a horse of a different color. What? This is what I should do if I could afford it. Miley Cyrus had a restaurant closed down so she and 100 friends could party together. She wanted to celebrate her sold-out concert at the L.A. Staples Center by dining at Katsuya. Oh, that's pricey. The 16-year-old. Am I bitter about a 16-year-old that can afford to shut down Katsuya or has 100 friends? I don't even think I know 100 people. So she booked out the entire restaurant. Good for her.
Yeah, I don't think you really do know 100 people.
I don't think I do, or ones that would admit they know me.
Or your achy, breaky heart.
Here's what I think I'll do is go on a road trip with Randy Quaid and his wife.
Oh, my God. There's an update to that story since I sent it to you. They have been arrested. Yes.
Breaking news this morning. Randy Quaid was for defrauding innkeepers. TMZ writes...
And beekeepers.
Damn it. When are these old-timey laws going to stop ruining everybody's good time? Police have issued a warrant for the arrest of Randy Quaid and his wife.
They've since been arrested.
Yes.
So, yeah.
On charges, the two have been staying at expensive hotels and bailing on the bill. But, Jim, you'll know this place. You know what they bailed on? San Ysidro Ranch in Santa Barbara, which is very, very pricey.
Is it?
Yes. They apparently stiffed them for thousands of dollars. They've allegedly also stiffed the Bel Air Hotel in hotels. So at least they have good taste in places they stiff.
Why did they think they would get away with that? I think
Certainly that it's Randy Quaid.
Right. It's Cousin Eddie for crying out loud.
Hey. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, that concludes the celebrity sack.
Strange celebrity stack.
Yes, it is. It's on. Hmm. All right. Oh, look who slithered out from a rock to talk about health care. Carl Rove. We'll be back with that next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yo. Sup? 24 minutes after the hour. Hello.
Stop it. You don't even know who Bijou Phillips is.
Sure I do. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I thought maybe she was a castaway Kardashian or something. I couldn't... Okay. Or, didn't a Baldwin marry some Phillips of some sort?
Yeah, China Phillips.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
How did I know that? See, little pieces of pop culture.
Because that was
fragments
from the 90s. Yeah, it was from the 90s.
I stopped paying attention in the 90s.
You really did.
I lost the will to live, and I can't. My brain is just like flapping wires that every once in a while something... Oh, okay. All right. Carl Rove slithered out from under his rock. Mm. This is a kind of stating the obvious. Conservatives need an Obamacare alternative. Yeah, maybe they need to be actually for something rather than just against something. He said he thinks a health care reform bill will pass soon because of the numbers of Democrats in Congress, but they probably won't get the bill they've been pushing for. You just wait there, Tubby McTreason. We're not done yet.
Yeah.
Speaking at a fundraiser in Vegas, Rove also said conservatives must produce an alternative next year that is a positive prescription for health care. Which would be...
If you're positive, it's not going to do a damn thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep everything exactly the way it is. Or make it worse.
He said, we'll be defined this year by what we oppose, and we're opposed to Obamacare, but by next year, we need to be able to articulate what it is we're for.
By next year?
Because there's a problem. Some people are not getting health insurance and can't afford it. Wow! That is brilliant. Really?
Been saying that for years.
Thank God, the Republicans. Oh,
they're coming
God,
around,
Carl
at least.
Rove is so genius that he knows there's some sort of problem with health care in this country. When asked about his proudest and least proud moments during his time in the White House, oh, they're all such, it's just a string of proud moments in the Bush administration, isn't it? He said he was most proud of how the Bush administration kept the people safe. Except for that one time. Except for the one time that was the worst time ever.
And then used 9/11 to destroy the Bill of Rights and start unnecessary wars.
Check this out. He said he was least proud that he and others didn't oppose Democrats more fervently in 2003 when they said the president lied about Iraq possessing weapons of mass destruction.
He did! It was
a lie. That's why that's kind of vomitous. We should have... Oh, this is here. Check this out.
Okay.
We should have stood up and taken a 2x4 to them in a polite and respectful fashion. Huh, that's kind of nice, encouraging violence in an atmosphere like this. So let me get this straight. We should have been smacked in the head with the 2x4 for pointing out the obvious truth that the president lied about the weapons of mass destruction.
And he wanted to go into Iraq even before he became president.
Ah,
well, if you believe he actually became president, which I don't.
Okay, Julie sends us a...
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites!
About my buddy, my radio big brother, Ed Schultz. With all of the things that have been said about Democrats, about the president, about health care this summer, check this out. The House GOP, the Boehner and his friends, on the defensive over the increasingly over-the-top rhetoric of the far right in the health care debate, is calling on MSNBC star Ed Schultz to apologize for accusing Republicans of wishing poor patients would just drop dead. This was a great rant. I don't know if you saw it. It was about the Eric Cantor thing.
Okay.
If what Eric Cantor said to that woman can't make you get a little passionate, then you have no soul. And anyway, on his Wednesday night show, Schultz worked himself into a near frenzy talking about House Minority Whip Eric Cantor, who advised a woman at a recent health care town hall to direct a seriously ill, uninsured relative, quote, to an existing government program or charity. Ed said the Republicans lie. They want to see you dead. They'd rather take money off your dead corpse. They kind of like it when that woman has cancer and they don't have anything for her. That's how the insurance companies make money, by denying the coverage. Uh-huh. Democrats, what's wrong with you? You can't deal with these people.
Yep.
Go, Ed. They've also requested that Nancy Pelosi issue a formal condemnation of Ed Schultz on the House floor. Please. Max Blumenthal is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everyone in this world has a talent.
Stephanie Miller.
You have the power to make men do what you want. You are hypnotic.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free.
Yeah, we're still here. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So things men don't want to do.
You hypnotized us.
Mm-hmm. 33 minutes after the hour. Oh, like it is in this economy, and it's the best you can do. Whatever. Loyalty. Traitorous bastards. All right, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Who said... Republican Gomorrah is a powerful study of right-wing extremism replete with perversions perpetrated on all Americans in the name of the culture wars. Blumenthal shines a Klieg light on the charlatans whose tactics would make Goebbels proud but must cause mainstream Republicans to hang their heads in shame. Who said that?
Larry Fine.
No, the good Joe Wilson, Ambassador Joe Wilson.
The good Joe Wilson. We'd almost forgotten about the good Joe Wilson.
If only I could talk to Max Blumenthal now. What? There he is. Why, good morning, Max.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
I know you've been called the YouTube Michael Moore because you've done some great stuff. Tell us some of the things that you have gotten online.
I've also been called the in shape Michael Moore.
But you've been really documenting the radical right in this country for a while.
Yeah, I've been covering them for about 6 years. I have a lot of videos from their gatherings. I'm actually going up to Alaska on Saturday. It's my 1 year anniversary of infiltrating Sarah Palin's church.
Oh, you're the witch doctor. You're the guy that got her witch doctor on tape.
Right. The witch hunter, Bishop Thomas Muthy. And I spoke in tongues there a year ago, which is invigorating. And you can see that video. It's called In the Land of Queen Esther. And, I've been reporting for The Nation and The Daily Beast and other magazines on this movement. And so I sort of packaged it all into my book with, what I think is a pretty unique analysis of the movement.
Well, we'll get to that in 1 second. The other thing I remember is, because, of course, I'm out here in California, Max, is you did this sort of expose of the kind of the nutcases behind California's Prop 8. Tell us about that.
I don't know if I'd use that word except that it's objectively true. One of the chief individual funders of California's Prop 8 is Howard F. Amundson, Jr., the son of the founder of Washington Mutual. And I was the first journalist in 15 years to interview him because he is an eccentric recluse. He has Tourette's syndrome, and he's the sugar daddy of the Christian right. At age 18, he inherited $300 million and went crazy and spent 2 years in a mental institution. When he came out, he met a guy named R.J. Rush Dooney, who's advocated replacing the Constitution and the government with biblical law, which means that, like, disobedient children, blasphemers, and anyone who violates Leviticus case law would be executed. And this guy converted him to born-again Christianity and helped helped him order his life, became his surrogate father, and in return, Amundson became his financial angel. So by 1985, Amundson was declaring that my goal is the total integration of biblical law into our daily lives. And besides funding the anti-gay agenda, he's funded intelligent design and so many other things designed to do just that.
This book really, it's obviously stuff that we've been talking about for a long time, how this Republican Party went from, what seemed like a big tent philosophy to being just fully in the grip of the radical right. I mean, I've said that over and over. They're the same. It's not like this is lunatic fringe anymore. There's congresspeople and senators that are birthers and that are at these 9/12 rallies, right?
Right. The Republican Party is basically just a host body for the Christian right and assorted radical right elements. I mean, it's now the party of Joseph Wilson, but I talk about how it became the party of Tom DeLay, who used to be known as Hot Tub Tommy, and I guess someone more like Two-Step Tommy, who we saw in Dancing with the Stars, like disco pervert. But I talk about how he was converted by James Dobson into the Hammer, and how he overnight became this hardcore Christian right dictatorial figure who Dobson used to take out Newt Gingrich after Gingrich failed with impeachment and also failed to restrain himself from having an affair with a woman 20 years his junior on the congressional payroll.
Excuse me, sneezing. I know. I mean, that was great stuff. Here's the thing. You were there at the 9/12 rallies. I'm sure you've seen, the Fox News producer that got caught on camera ginning up the crowd. I mean, that was frightening, some of the people at these 9/12 things, wasn't it?
What was frightening was, I guess it was sort of sad, because, the whole thing was planned by a corporate lobbyist, Dick Armey, who I talk about him a lot in my book, is actually someone who wasn't radical enough for the Christian right, and so Dobson worked to oust him. But anyway, he's this corporate lobbyist, and I met so many people there who said they had no health care, but they were rallying against having health care, and they were just basically being used. So I called my video Lifestyles of the White and Suggestible. So it wasn't just Fox News producers hyping them up. It was, you know, healthcare industry lobbyists who were telling them they were fighting for freedom
yep.
when really they were fighting against their own best interests. And that's
Max,
what's
don't
sort
you,
of sad.
Don't you love the, you know, the fake outrage over Jimmy Carter's comments? Like, you know, look, you were in the thick of the 9/12 rallies. You tell me there's you don't detect a whiff of racism there.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the hero of the 9/12 movement, Joseph Wilson, a former staffer for Strom Thurmond, his chief political consultant who's raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for his campaign right now with the We Stand With Joe t-shirts is Richard Quinn. In 1983, Richard Quinn wrote for the Southern Partisan, a white supremacist magazine, that Martin Luther King was the worst person who's ever lived, and he's done more damage to black people than any other person. He sold t-shirts in the 80s that had a picture of Lincoln on them that said Sic Semper Tyrannis, which is what John Wilkes Booth yelled when he shot Lincoln. So these are the kind of people that are leading the Republican Party. It's a neo-Confederate party, and if you look at the polls, congressional Republican approval rating in the Northeast is 7%. In the Deep South, congressional Republican approval rating is 60%. So, I mean, it's just a party of the former slave states.
Yeah, I mean, and Max, it really, you know, has gotten, I mean, not just to a scary level, but to a level sort of beyond. I mean, when Dr. Tiller is shot and killed, when a census worker is hanged with the word Fed scrawled across him, this is the most dangerous, toxic environment I can remember politically.
And I think my book really tracks the history of that, beginning, you know, in the South with Jerry Falwell being sort of preoccupied with opposing racial integration. And I talk about how this theologian named Francis Schaeffer convinced Falwell and the Republicans to oppose abortion, but Schaeffer wound up advocating domestic terrorism at the end of his life. And the people who assassinated Tiller in Operation Rescue, Randall Terry, who defended the killing of Tiller, say you have to understand Operation Rescue, you have to understand Francis Schaeffer. And, you know, Francis Schaeffer's son, Frank, has written several reviews of my book saying, you know, this is dead on. This is how we got to where we were. And if my father was black, he would have been put in prison. Instead, I was swimming in the swimming pool of Gerald Ford and hanging out with Jerry Falwell.
Mm.
So this was a movement that was advocating domestic terrorism but was mainstreamed. And we see the casualties with Dr. Tiller. We saw Richard Poplawski, this neo-Nazi fan of Glenn Beck, shoot three Pittsburgh cops earlier this mm-hmm. year. And we see Nancy Pelosi being mocked for warning of political violence when it's already happened.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. One of the most, for all the chilling parts of your book, is why Sarah Palin is not a fringe player, but represents the core of the Republican Party now. When I was reading some of her comments from this Hong Kong speech, I'm like, is it possible she really could become president of the United States? I mean, that is just, it's chilling.
Yeah, she made a brilliant speech in Hong Kong that the economic crisis is the result of too much regulation. Brilliant.
Yes.
But I talk about first of all how she is the archetype of the right wing woman, and how so many women in the Christian right identify with her on a visceral level that transcends politics and transcends ideas and ideology. She was mocked for having a 16-year-old daughter who was pregnant out of wedlock while she advocated abstinence. But, I mean, if you look at the facts on the ground in Palin country, for example, in Lubbock, Texas, where since 1996 abstinence education has been mandated, but the rate of gonorrhea among teenage evangelical girls is twice the national average. You can kind of see, you can see why people identify with Palin. They're going through some of the same things, and she milked that for all it was worth during the campaign.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I think it's been proven that abstinence pledges make kids horny.
Yes, that was in a congressional study called Ad Health, that girls who drop flowers at the foot of white crosses pledging their purity are deflowered soon after.
Oh man. Max Blumenthal, doing the Lord's work, really and truly. The book is Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party. I know you got a bunch of book signings and all that. Where can we find out more information about you and about that?
Well, you can go to maxblumenthal.com and buy the book, and I'll be posting information. I think I'll be at Powell's Books in Portland at 7:30 on Monday, and I'll just be heading down the West Coast throughout the week.
Cool.
Terrific. You can check that out on maxblumenthal.com. Thanks so much for taking time. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for for having me.
All right. There he goes, Matt Blumen. He's all over the place, you know.
And we have a link to his website right there, front and center, at stephaniemiller.com.
Yeah, he's his exposés have been on my future husband, Keith Olbermann, and he's doing the, I mean, really the Lord's work.
So is he on the future husband list, Matthew?
I think I believe he is. Okay. All right, 43 minutes after the hour. Oh, he brought up a Hot Tub Tommy.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear more about the Hot Tub Tommy stuff.
Yes.
It's in the book.
We'll be back with more of that next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join our little Friday party. That was great. Max Blumenthal, in case you missed that, that'll be up at stephaniemiller.com after the show. His new book, Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party. Yeah, Jim, there's lots of Hot Tub Tommy DeLay stories in the book. Tom DeLay was transformed through evangelical religion from Hot Tub Tommy, referring to his alleged taste for bawdy liquor-sodden bashes and rowdy sex.
Huh. Oh, boy.
Into the dictatorial House Majority Leader known as the Hammer. Liquor-sodden?
Teeny, tiny what? Hammer.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate? I mean, his gift certificate. His birth certificate?
It's more of a ball-peen hammer.
We never noticed that, the drunk part.
No, that's ridiculous.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 in the effects in the attacks and prepared for war. Where? Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapeutic understanding for our attackers. That's not slander. That's the truth.
It's the truth. These allegations of my drunkenness are wrong. It's just, I don't know where they get this stuff.
I think he was drunk on Dancing with the Stars, don't you? No man of that age shakes his ass at the camera unless he's had a little... You know, here's the thing I appreciate about him as a fellow aficionado of the hooch.
Yes.
Is his multiple attempts to try to pronounce a word correctly. He's not going to let it go.
Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
I got it. Nobody help.
Senior gifts.
Third time's a charm.
If conservatives don't stand up to liberalism, no one will.
Liberalism.
Tom Brokaw can say that easier than he can.
Liberalism.
Say it after
pronounced
me.
Liberalism. What do you think, Bob Ezell? Yeah, it's liberalism.
Yeah, that's when your tongue is, you know, his tongue probably feels like it weighs about 1,000 pounds by the time he gets to the liberalism.
I want to dance as hey, baby, hush, the scene is spur.
PoliticsDaily.com Tom DeLay spoke to them. He thinks the Republican Party is leaderless and doesn't have the organizational capacity to take back the Hill anytime soon. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
He was taking a break from Dancing with the Stars. He blasts the Democratic's health care reform plans, but says his old allies are virtually helpless to stop it. He said Republicans will pick up some seats in the House, maybe 20, but not enough to take back control. The Republican Party doesn't have the organization or leadership to take advantage of this dire political situation Obama is in right now. Ooh, it's dire,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it's dire.
The polls are showing, but no. Okay. We have these grassroots sprouting up, but not the party organization to use them. Is he referring to the grassroots nutcases that went to the tea parties and the town halls and the 9/12?
Yeah, companies.
He said that Republicans are leaderless, so we're just fighting each other instead of Obama's radical policies. There's no political leader of the party taking control, so Republicans are just attacking each other for being too far right or too far left. Even Rush and Hannity are doing it. Oh, he's
radical
Rush
policies.
Under the bus. So who does DeLay see as the GOP's up-and-comers? No one, he said.
Wow.
Alcohol's a depressant, you know.
But they got Michael Steele. Yo.
Yo.
What's up, yo?
I'm on it. Yo.
Okay, so yesterday.
Look, I'm wearing my hat. It's the way I roll.
Yesterday, in the health care debate, the Senate Finance Committee rejected a Democratic amendment to its health care bill that would have expanded prescription drug coverage to people on Medicare. Senator Baucus said we have to find some other way at another time to close the donut hole. Senator Ben Nelson had sought to fill the so-called donut hole, which affects my mom, by the way, among others. A gap in Medicare's Part D drug benefit, which beneficiaries must pay the full cost for their medicines, which I don't understand what Republicans are for, quite frankly. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Thursday shot down a health care compromise that has been viewed as the best chance for getting a bipartisan bill through the Senate. She rejected the idea of a trigger for a public option. Go, sister. It ain't a man's world. That means the government-run health care plan would be a fallback option enacted only if other reforms didn't make health care more accessible. This is Senator Olympia Snowe's idea, the Republican of Maine. She supports trigger. I don't even want to talk about it. Here's the thing I don't get. Apparently, she's the only Republican vote that's even vaguely possible.
Right.
What? Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. She supports a trigger. Pelosi said, I don't even want to talk about a trigger. She said the attitude of her fellow Democrats is that a trigger is an excuse for not doing anything. Thank you. Thank you. Michael Moore was on TV.
He's great.
Yeah, on CNN, talking about the public option. Michael Moore on the CNN.
Anytime you don't fight for the thing you want, anytime that you start off compromising, you're never going to get what you want. He started off with a compromise position. Let the private insurance company still sit at the table, have a public option.
This is something we've been saying for a while. Why didn't we start with single payer? Why didn't we start with Medicare for all? We'll see. Look, a lot of people still hopeful, including the Congress critters we talked to yesterday, that we are indeed going to get health care reform and we are indeed going to get a public option. Why are you looking at me like that? Okay, we'll see.
I have a history
of being wrong.
I also have a history of being a pessimist.
Yes, you do indeed. Senator John.
But I also have a history of being right.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Name one thing you've been right about.
I can't think of one right now.
Of course not. Senator
Name
John,
one thing I've been wrong about.
Everything.
Okay.
Senator John Kyle, Republican of Arizona. Here we go.
So when the president says, if you like your coverage, you get to keep it, the answer is, that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's a lie. You lie.
You lie.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Did you see the man fight between John Kyle and Max Baucus yesterday?
This was awesome.
Because they are clearly just delaying tactics. Mm-hmm. They're slow walking this thing. 500 amendments. They have no interest. And by the way, they've all gone on record as saying they're not voting for any version of any of this.
So there's no point in...
Yeah.
I pointed out a study that said that $100 billion... Mr. Chairman, let me just complete my thought here.
In about 1 minute, you'll complete your thought. I'll
complete my thought and then make another point, Mr. Chairman.
This is your delaying, Senator, and we just have to move on.
Mr. Chairman, I am not delaying. I'm making an extremely important point.
It's a very, very important point, but you're also delaying.
Mr. Chairman, it's courteous if you don't interrupt somebody right in the middle of the sentence of an important point they're trying to make.
Let me finish.
All right, what is the important point you're trying to make?
The point is that you interrupted me during my important point, which I'm trying to think of. So I don't look like a complete
The Republicans have all become
ass.
Orly Tates.
Yeah.
Robert in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on Tom DeLay. Hey, Rob.
Hi, you know, I don't know if it's true in white cultures, but I'm Latino, and I know at the Latino wedding receptions, we have a, there's always a dude who's had a few too many pops, and he thinks he's the greatest dancer in the world, and,
yep.
Tom DeLay reminds me of that dude, and, he just, the more he drinks, the better he thinks he dances, and then, everybody yep. ends up taking bets on when he's gonna fall on the dance floor.
That's, he's that guy! Alright. Glenn Beck. Addresses the boiling frog incident in Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the little party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You know, Mama was on the road, I think I mentioned a week or so ago in Orlando, speaking to the Laborers International Union of North America. Fine Americans, all of them. Salt of the earth. Jim is a
let's drink to the hardworking people.
Thank you. That's exactly my point. We're joined now by the fine American that is Terry O'Sullivan, General President of LIUNA. Woohoo!
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good morning, Terry. Great
you
to talk to you.
You knocked him dead in Orlando. Thanks for being there, and thanks for energizing the leadership of the Laborers International Union in North America.
Oh, well, thank you. A good time was had by all, as they say.
Without a doubt.
It's not many people that whip out a weatherization joke, right?
That's right. You're the first and only.
Well, you've got a lot of guys in construction. You do weatherizing. You're doing green jobs. You're about 800,000 strong, right?
We are. We have about 500,000 construction members, but we also represent public employees, municipal employees. We have 50,000 postal mail handlers that are part of the Laborers International Union as well. So while we're primarily construction, we're a very diverse labor organization.
Yeah, absolutely. You did remove hazardous materials from houses. So I did that joke about getting the Bush administration out and Obama into the White House, removing the hazardous material that was the Bush administration.
And we help few. As well. We certainly didn't want the president and first lady going in there before we got the remnants of George Bush and Dick Cheney out of there.
So, you know, we talked obviously a lot when I was in Orlando about the health care debate because it really is. I don't know if you saw this video clip of Eric Cantor talking to a woman who, you know, whose relative had stomach cancer, needed surgery right away, had lost her job. Like, you know, so many people have it. And he basically said, oh, well, isn't there some sort of government program? Isn't that what we're talking about? Yeah. No, there's not a public option right now. That's what we're talking about, right?
We're talking about that. We're talking about a whole host of other things, Stephanie, that we talked about in Orlando. I mean, you know, what's taken center stage so far is the deliberations with the Senate Finance Committee. And we're just holding our nose because what's going to come out of that committee with the moderates and conservatives on both sides is a bill that doesn't work, health care reform that doesn't work. And I think what we need to do is we're going to hold our nose. Let's get something passed through the Senate Finance Committee. Let's get this bill on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Let's get it into conference committee with the House of Representatives. And I think that's where we can actually make real progress and change and come up with a workable universal health care reform plan. There's five bills altogether. There's three bills that have already passed the House. We have the Senate Health Committee bill, and then we have the Senate Finance Committee bill. And out of the five, there's four of them that still include the public option. So that those that say the public option is dead, that is not the case. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to fight to have a public option, to keep these insurance companies honest. Mm-hmm. You probably laughed as I did. Of course, it's not funny that yesterday Senator Nelson put forth a motion to have the pharmaceutical companies pay $106 billion instead of $80 billion. $3 billion towards health care reform.
Right.
The health care industry and the pharmaceutical industry, they could find $80 billion out of the goodness of their heart, of course, to put towards universal health care. We need to put this debate back in the hands of working men and women in this country and take it out of the hands of corporate America, pharmaceutical and health care companies.
Well, and, you know, something we talked about, too, in Orlando, you know, this woman in the at the Eric Cantor Town Hall talked about, you know, this is a woman that lost her job. I mean, and so therefore doesn't have insurance. I think we were talking in the construction business. Where is unemployment? 13.5%, something like that?
Actually, it's 17.4%. We have 1.6 million construction workers out of work today. And as we talked, I mean, the other things in the Senate finance bill, the things that we have to make sure don't happen is we need a public option. We're not for an individual mandate for the reasons that you just said. I mean, imagine an individual mandate. The insurance industry gets 30 million more customers.
Yep.
People are losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They're losing their health insurance. They're losing their retirement security. And we're going to say, and oh, by the way, you have to have health insurance, instead of saying responsible employers should provide health insurance, and we should have a fund for those that the indigent and the poor. We should help those individuals that aren't fortunate enough as we are to have health insurance.
Yeah.
But we need to have an employer mandate, not an individual mandate. And we can't tax existing health care benefits. We shouldn't do it off of companies and workers that have been responsible and have been paying for their own health insurance. And now, you know, Max Baucus and his clan would want to tax our benefits. It's not right. We're not going to stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what health care reform is all about.
That's right. Terry, we hear all the time from people saying, oh, we can't afford it. We can't afford health care reform. And, I mean, one of the perfect statistics I read, you know, particularly about your group or just, I think, laborers in general, is that 60% of the gains you make at the bargaining table are eaten up by health care costs. I mean, it's breaking the whole system. We can't afford not to do it.
That's for sure, Stephanie. Exactly right. About 25 to 30 cents, our average health and welfare contribution for health insurance is about $5 an hour. That would otherwise go in our members' pocket if they weren't doing the responsible thing with responsible employers and providing health insurance. And about 25 or 30% of that $5 an hour is going towards paying for the uninsured for employers that don't provide health insurance. And 60% of our negotiated increase is going forward are going towards maintaining what we have.
Yeah.
I saw an interesting statistic yesterday, actually on Tuesday, that Vice President Biden put out about the premiums and how much they've increased.
Yeah.
In the state of Alaska, over the last 10 years, health care premiums have increased 145%, while wages grew just 35%. I mean, way to go, Sarah.
I was just going to say, amazing that slipped by the country's most popular governor, as the Republicans say. All right. Terry O'Sullivan, who is the general president of the Laborers International Union of North America. Thanks so much, Terry. It's been great seeing you again.
Look forward to being on the show again and having you talk before our leadership and membership, Stephanie.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Terry.
Take care. There he goes,
Terry O'Sullivan. Their membership is 85% male. It was Leap Week for Mama in Orlando last week.
Yes. And you had to wolf whistle them. They
Hello.
Didn't wolf whistle you. And they're construction workers.
It startled them. They were like,
yeah.
Oh. Ken, my right-wing love muffin in North Carolina on health care. Hello, Ken.
Hello.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, what's the rush on that health care? It's not going to take effect till 2013.
Yeah, so we should just do
design.
Nothing. What's that?
That's by design. See, that's all part of the Democratic commie-crat strategy to
commie-crat?
Eventually. Oh, yeah. That's what
do you know what a communist is, Ken?
Yeah, it's you people. You want to take over to eventually control the economy and allow illegal aliens so they can maintain a majority in Congress.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Wait, Ken.
Take over all the rest of the economy.
But Ken, what?
Cap and trade.
Why is it by design that it won't kick in until 2013?
Because the undesirable effects that will inevitably occur will not take place until after the next presidential election. That's what they want to happen. And they also want to use it as a billy club to make people fearful. See, if you don't vote for me, they're going to take away your...
Ken, you voted for Tom DeLay on Dancing with the Stars, didn't you?
Excuse me?
You voted for Tom DeLay on Dancing with the Stars, didn't you?
I don't personally watch Dancing with the Stars, but, you know.
Say Kate Bailey Hutchinson.
Ken, are you driving a truck right now?
Yes, I am, ma'am.
Oh, you are?
Oh,
are you?
Oh, dear.
Perhaps, you know, they have rest stops if you need to take a little, just a little break there.
Have some coffee.
No, all right, Ken. Yeah, maybe a little coffee shop or something.
Someone got the 20-ounce to-go cup. Maybe the 2-liter to-go cup, I think.
Yeah, some crystal meth might help.
You're the communist. You want the illegal aliens.
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes. The Stephanie Miller Show does not encourage the use of crystal meth, except for that guy.
That's the
communist.
Because
he's behind somebody with a load of timber, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
The communists brought in the illegal aliens.
So that...
Jim, he's one of those guys that was at the 9/12 rally that warned us of the dangers of the isms.
Yeah.
Yeah. And any of the isms you see.
Communism.
He asked what the rush was. Well, we've been working on this since Teddy Roosevelt.
Mechanism.
So there, you know, there's really
yes,
a rush to get it done.
Teddy Roosevelt was a commie. He was the government program.
He was a Republican.
That's the other one.
Yeah.
Roosevelt, that's his Jew name, isn't it? Hey.
The first you people of the morning has been thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Commie crats.
We're commie crats. I've never been called that.
No.
That was great.
I've been called a lot of things, but not a commie crat.
He doesn't know the definition of communism.
Commie.
No.
I know. I was going to say, wow, we're throwing out the old phrases. He's going to call us a red next time. You are a couple of reds.
Yeah.
Yes.
The communists brought in illegal aliens to Imperial Russia. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
no,
mm-hmm.
They murdered the Tsar. So when you talk about czars, you're not talking about the communists.
Charles in Cincinnati says the president lies on health care. Hello, Charles.
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, the reason I'm calling, I originally have the other satellite, so you're all merged with one, and I was just on the Internet, and I was listening to your montage, and you had the parodies going where you had the incident in Congress with Baucus going back and forth.
The fight that Baucus got into with John Kyle yesterday.
Right,
yeah.
And then there was a question about you lie, and then you guys were doing your little, you know, outburst and that, mocking it. Well, President Obama is lying when he says when you have health care, you get to keep it. And
why is he lying? A public option, you see, is an option that is
optional.
It's public.
Ma'am,
and
I'm
public.
Talking about Medicare Advantage.
Uh-huh.
Is that not a form of health insurance?
Yes.
Okay.
Why would you be forced to drop that?
Because that's what they're doing. That's a cutback that they are going to do.
No, it was proposed yesterday.
Oh, okay. Proposal has not to come, but
there are many amendments that have been shot down, including this one.
No, that's still a cutback. Are you going to tell me that if it does happen, then it's not a lie, but you're willing to put that on the table when the president says you have insurance, you will not lose it?
There were 350 amendments put through.
500.
500, sir. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
All right. All right, Charles, thanks for...
And that was one of them that was shot down, sir.
You're a sir and I'm a ma'am, though, so at least that was... I thought he was going to smack me in the face with a white glove in a moment.
Yes.
Why, you're incorrect, ma'am. Thwack.
I challenge you to a duel.
Okay. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Ken, if it's going to take 4 years for the health care plan, isn't that exactly why we should start it today?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, Mike, I'm a commie-crat, as you know, but it may be the size and complexity of health care in the United States that might be the reason it takes like a second.
Yeah, but you know what? You have to spoon-feed this information to him.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right. Ro in Florida on Ken the Trucker. Ken the Drunken Trucker. Yes.
Ken, the logical question I wanted you guys to ask was, and where do you get your health insurance from, and how much are you paying? Because I just, it kills me, you know, the working class are voting against their own interests. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really fortunate. We do well, but my insurance is for a family of four, healthy people. It's $9,000.
Yeah.
If I use my deductibles, because I have to use those first, really, I'm really paying close to 12 because you know what I'm saying? I have to pay out of pocket till I get to that deductible before the insurance actually kicks in. So I want to know where these people are getting their health insurance. insurance, and what do they think is going to happen when they get that one catastrophic accident?
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of which, I think that's the main question, is will the person that Ken the drunken trucker plows into with his load of timber have the proper health insurance?
Allegedly drunken.
Speaking of catastrophic incidents.
I think Ken self-medicates. His work doesn't worry about doctors.
Uh-oh. I hope that person has a good plan.
Oh crap.
That's going to sting.
Did I pay my car insurance premium?
Uh-oh. That's a big deductible. 20 minutes after the hour. Boy, oh boy. All right. Back with the latest on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, that is so my humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, there actually is a Sharona. She's in real estate, or she was a few years ago.
Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, will join us for some right-wing world coming up just after the bottom of the hour, 25 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Bonnie and Joyzy. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bonnie.
Good morning. Like the Medicare Advantage thing is a new Republican talking point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little something-something that got rammed through at 3 o'clock in the morning in the Republican Congress prior to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And all it really does is, it's another wet kiss to health insurance companies. Just something thrown in there that doesn't cover people on Medicare any differently, except it costs the taxpayers a hell of a lot more money. And Humana is one of the biggest suppliers of the amount. And the tactic that was used, they banged on these poor old people's doors and really attacked Florida and the adult communities there and scared the crap out of these old people by telling them if they didn't purchase this very expensive supplement that did nothing, they wouldn't have Medicare. And, you know, I was listening because I'm homesick with a flu and can't afford to meet the copay because the deductible is a little too high after $25,000 going to my health insurance plan. I was listening to Senator Kyle on the Finance Committee. And after I think this was the 568th Amendment that he was proposing, he was hysterical because apparently Humana was sending out letters to the elder folk that are on Medicare, again, scaring the crap out of them.
Yep,
were going to lose their health care. And someone in our federal government kind of said, well, we should look into this because they're lying through their teeth and there was going to be some action or will be some action taken.
Yep.
So Kyle was just crying and blubbering because...
Yes, he went all oily taint on our ass.
Yes, he did.
Let's go to Garrick in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Garrick. Hello. I hit the wrong line because I'm not good at that. Hello, Garrick. Go ahead.
Hey, Steph. This is Garrick. I have a great story for you about the youth of the nation. And so I wanted to share with you about I'm a student at Bellevue College, and I was walking by these advertisers for Obama is the next Hitler. And, of course, I personally have no ability to talk with them without really wanting to throw blunt objects at them.
Yes.
But a young man was talking with him and said, you tell me what you're saying here. You sell me on this. And they said, well, just read the pamphlet. And he said, no. He took the pamphlet and said, no, you tell me. No. You tell me. So these people don't know what they're trying to spoon feed.
That's right.
Yes, all we know is that we people are commie-crats. 28, that's what our right-wing drunken trucker told us. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Charlie Pierce and Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It was sexy as hell, but completely annoying.
Hey, more good news for America, bad news for Republicans. Jobless claims have dropped unexpectedly for the third straight week. Evidence layoffs are continuing to ease.
This just shows what a failure Obama is.
I only say that because I am a commie-crat. All right. You know, we have a rollicking right-wing world to get to. But there's only one man that can be my co-pilot now. That's Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America.
Hooray!
Hi, Mama and the Mook. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
Oh, how is everybody?
I'm good. Are you man enough to dive into right-wing world with us?
As long as we talk about the Fredericton Tomato Festival. Have you heard about that?
I have not, Charlie. What is that?
I don't even know where Fredericton is, but they have a tomato festival parade every year, and some teabaggers wanted to put up an anti-Obama float.
Oh,
and they were refused by the Fredericton Tomato Parade Board of Directors.
Yay.
Good for them.
Who demonstrate more courage than Time Magazine does,
yes.
Which is really kind of remarkable. When you think about it.
They're our hero of the week.
Hooray! Hooray for them.
I think they're so impressive, I'm going to find out where Fredericton is.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask, but then I realized.
It's an order of monks, the Fredericans.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Here we go.
Step right up, get your Republican talking points, get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this counting crack.
Charlie?
Yeah?
You know, pretty much every poll I've seen shows a vast majority of Americans.
And you've seen a lot of polls.
For exactly.
Being of Polish extraction.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought you were talking about dancing.
Pardon me.
Well, she's seen a lot of those, too.
There we go. Hey, did you see the strippers getting flu shots in Florida? That was another great story.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Strippers got flu shots in Florida?
They were giving.
They opened up a flu shot clinic at a gentleman's club in Florida.
Oh, that's right. I did see that.
I would almost guarantee you that I would walk in with what was probably called a pre-existing condition, if you know what I mean.
You know what I'm saying.
And I think you do.
And if it goes on for more than 4 hours, you definitely need to call your doctor.
Call your friends.
Yes. Take pictures.
Exactly. So, it's, you know, the polls showing largely people, of course, for the public option, which is why people like John Fieri say exactly the opposite on TV.
The heart of the democratic process is compromise. And for the president, his compromising is not with the Republicans per se, as Donna says, it's with Democrats who are not sure that the public option, let alone the single payer plan, is the right way to go. Because what we've seen in polls, so many people are actually very happy with their health care and are afraid that this plan will make their health care worse. And that is why the Democrats are having such a hard time of getting their plan through.
That was one long sentence.
It was.
Yes.
They've got to stop putting meth in the green room. It's not working out.
I haven't. You know what? The only other person.
I don't understand what people don't get. The public option is the compromise.
Right.
Exactly.
I know.
Single payer was what people wanted. And then, oh, well, we can't get that, so we'll do this public option thing. No, we can't have that. You don't compromise.
Well, the problem is...
compromise on your compromise.
The problem is that we keep saying is that they didn't start from the single payer.
Right.
They started from, they started from compromise.
Yeah.
That should have been the big dog in the yard, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Agree with us on the public option, or see the big dog in the yard? It's going to eat your profits right there. See it?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who was that again?
By the way,
John Fieri.
Our favorite, by the way, purveyor of the run-on Republican talking point is Dick Morris, who also tends to get winded in the middle of it.
Well, he tends to get winded in the middle of a lot of things in here.
Yes, we feel that perhaps it is because there's still prostitute toenails.
Toenails stuck on my lungs. I can't get to the fence without choking.
You have to floss. If you don't floss, they get stuck in your teeth.
Yes. I'm getting oxygen mask.
You sound like a man that knows, Charlie.
Well, no. I've done extensive research among my friends.
Of course.
Called me once and told me this.
Of course. Mary Madeline, I love this spin, Charlie. You know how many times the Republicans used reconciliation to get George Bush's tax cuts for the top 1% through, by the way?
2,805.
That's exactly right, Charlie. All right. Mary Madeline.
This is about how the Democrats do standard operating procedure. When they can't win on the merits, they change the rules. So they've changed the rules in this instance to get that vote, and they're still not going to get the vote, so then they're going to change another rule. They're going to vote this out of reconciliation, and so they'll need less votes. How about let's try to pass policy that people want so you don't have to keep moving the goalposts? There's an idea.
Hmm.
Boy, it's hard to unpack all of that.
Yeah.
You're not changing the rule if you're using an existing rule.
Yes.
Which, getting policy people want is pretty much what people are doing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And And Mary Madeline is a, you know, lizard-brained idiot. So.
That.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Thank you. He's brought the same subtlety we normally bring to Batwoman World.
Yeah, she's going to join Cindy McCain in the cast of V.
Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show.
Look, in the end, the program will fail because you cannot expand the coverage at no cost. Somebody has to pay. Mm-hmm. If it's seniors, it will be devastating because, as you say, they vote. That's why I think it's not going to happen.
Oh, we're going to make Grandma pay for everything, Charlie, before we kill her.
Before
you see?
She goes before the death
right.
panel.
Exactly.
Right.
They're going to hold her upside down by the ankles and shake the last nickel out of her.
Exactly. Exactly. And then pull the plug.
All these people who are pretending pretending to be so solicitous of Medicare, I wonder where they were in 65.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I think that point has been made. It's like, oh, really? You're such big fans of Medicare now.
Yeah,
interesting.
Big fans of the socialist single-payer Medicare system.
Yeah.
All right. Steve Hayes on the Britt Baer Show on the President's Speech at the UN.
In some respects, this General Assembly was just like every other one. A lot of sort of silly diplomatic speak, people feeling very important about passing things that don't matter, that nobody will pay attention to. But in another respect, it was different, I think, because for the first time you had the President of the United States, I would say in some respects, leading the anti-American critics. He was making criticisms of the United States. That I think we haven't ever seen from the President of the United States. He was doing it in a forum where he knew it would win him the approval of rogue state dictators and others, Europeans and others around the world.
Who's this moron?
That's Stephen Hayes.
That's Stephen Hayes. Dick Cheney's last sucker.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Charlie, Rush Limbaugh said that Barack Obama has delivered the United States of America to the rest of the world in a bloodless coup, my friends.
Oh, really?
Of his speech, yes.
Well, if that means we get some cooking from Provence, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Did he deliver the whole country or just the eastern seaboard? Because I think you have to pay extra once you get past the UPS makes you pay extra when you get past the Missouri. What are these people talking about?
I know.
Sometimes you just bang your head again. I'm telling you, the Fredericton Tomato Parade people, they're looking better and better.
Yes.
Can we get them on TV for a while?
I don't know. Charlie, you obviously, as author of Idiot America, have chronicled the idiots in America better than anybody. Glenn Beck, what does one say?
I have to admit, I didn't see him coming.
Yeah,
that is.
I really did not see him coming. I did not see a guy who would get on the public airwaves and advise America to go back to the plain text reading of the slavery clause.
Yeah, yeah,
yes. Hilarious. Yeah. So I don't know if you saw the latest. He appeared to boil a frog on his show live.
What? Oh, to prove the you turn up the water a little bit,
right?
At a time.
Yeah.
Are you sure the frog just didn't jump into the pot to commit suicide?
Right? Yeah. Just to get away from not to listen to Glenn Beck anymore.
Can you turn the water up a little higher, please?
Can I have some earplugs before I get in? So I don't even know. So it was a box of live frogs, right?
It was. He reached his hand into a box of live frogs. So people thought that he was taking a live frog out of the box, but apparently it was a plastic frog that he dumped into the boiling
water.
What
he says, and he has credibility, as you know.
Well, did he know is the question. I mean,
yeah, how could he know?
By the way, isn't this the greatest upset of the month that you know, watching Gaddafi at the UN, isn't it one of the great upsets of the month that he wasn't talking to the Tea Party Convention in Washington?
Yeah.
He's the only crazy guy behind the microphone who wasn't there.
We were saying that he gave Orly Tates an orgasm yesterday. He's like, I told you he's a Kenyan, you see? Let me finish.
There can be no more credible witness than Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, yes. I'd like a nice three-bedroom overlooking the ocean and a root canal, please.
Maybe he will invite me for s'mores in his tent tonight. All right. This is the special kind of crazy. It is Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck talking about the boiling frog.
You killed the frog
on your show.
No, I did not kill a frog.
No?
See, he always tries to get me in trouble. I'm a good guy. He's just trying to take the heat off.
You threw the frog in a pot of boiling water, but it was a plastic frog.
Yes, right.
It wasn't a real frog.
Right, yes.
But a lot of people thought it was real.
And PETA wrote a letter and said,
You made children cry. They thought it was a real frog.
I make children cry every night. If you've got your children watching my show, they're crying every night.
Well, that would be a meeting of the minds if they weren't too short.
What's funnier than teaching children animal cruelty?
This is the guy who was on the cover of the Time magazine they put through my mail slot on last Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very sympathetically, I might add.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
I have to admit, when I wrote the book, I didn't see it coming. But in the paperback version, available next May on your local bookstands, I have to write it. Thank you. I have to write a new foreword.
Yeah, I know.
I think I have half of it written already.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, being the top-notch writer and journalist you are, I'm not sure if you've heard of this study O'Reilly speaks
of. Tom Navarro-Benez and Patriots, a new study by Sacred Heart University in Connecticut, says that Fox News is the most trusted television news network in the USA. 30% of Americans say FNC is their most credible source of information. Second was CNN at 19%. Way down the list, NBC News, 7.5%. But doing the study, the folks at Sacred Heart are Patriots.
Sacred Heart Institute of Studies.
What he doesn't mention, of course, is that 58% of the respondents said that the fillings in their teeth are the most reliable.
Yeah. You're right.
Here's my favorite polling.
I actually know where Sacred Heart College in Connecticut is.
Do you really?
It does exist, oh yeah.
Wow. Okay. You know, that strikes me as the Orly Tate's using in her actual legal filing. She cites an AOL poll that people are not sure the president.
I also think it's probably right up there with Glenn Beck, the University of I Don't Know.
Yeah.
Charlie Pierce is author of Idiot America and our buddy, our pal. You're going to come on with us more often, yes?
I'm going to come on. We are negotiating that as we speak, but I will be by the middle of the year, I will be an honorary MOOC.
There you go. Charlie Pierce. Thanks, Charlie. There he goes.
Yay!
He's also on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yes, I worship that show.
He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. All right, 44 minutes after the hour, fisticuffs on health care yesterday in the Senate. We'll tell you what happened as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, goodness.
But isn't
Ellen
on every day?
Who hasn't had that conversation every other week here in L.A. during the commercial break? Go ahead. Do the dialogue.
Look, there's a lesbian on TV.
Grab your earthquake supplies.
Has there been an earthquake? Okay, here's why that's funny for the rest of the country. Because, you see, where's she from?
Caltech.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's a woman that announces when we've had an earthquake from Caltech.
In the epicenter and...
Yes,
right. And how deep it was and, you know...
Yes. Yes.
The magnitude.
Yes. She's very good. She's a scientist and an out lesbian, and we say, but that's the only way, that's the early warning system here in California.
But we panic when we see a lesbian on TV.
Right.
So every time Ellen comes on,
Oh, God!
Oh, I don't have my flashlight! Okay.
The woman from
the thing, I never have the right batteries. I have flashlights, I never have batteries in them. So
that's
I start
good.
To panic.
Good
I immediately
plan.
Oh! Okay. All right. Let's go to Elise in Miami on healthcare. Hello, Elise.
Oh, my goodness. You actually picked me.
I did.
Hi. I've been listening to you.
Did you always get picked last in kickball?
You know what? You know what the worst thing was? I was called Elsie. Elsie the cow.
Gordon's cow.
I know.
That's okay. Carol Fisher beat me up in front of the Y, and Roman Gomez used to call Chris fat.
And you know what else?
Yeah.
I had to wear glasses when I was 4. You think you had a unibrow. I had blue rhinestone glasses at 4.
Oh.
Which is very cool now.
Yeah, now it's retro and ironic.
So anyway, I called because as I now am reduced to only hearing you on the computer because in Miami they took everybody away.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, long story short, my husband and I had a small business that... So we have our own insurance, and Blue Cross Blue Shield 2 weeks ago raised our premium to $37,000 a year.
Wow. Oi.
And I have pre-existing, of course. And if that's not reason, I don't know what people do. I mean, I know.
I just, that's the thing I don't get with the, people are happy with their insurance. They're happy with their insurance. They're happy with what they, really. I mean, how many stories have we gotten just like that?
Uh-huh.
Who's the woman that just called? They have, I forget how many kids, $9,000 a month. You like that? Really?
Right.
You like it?
And that's assuming they keep you at all. I mean, if you had the temerity to get sick one year, they might just drop you, and you don't get any of the money back of all the premiums you paid.
Although
Stephanie, those bastards rich.
I am very happy with the insurance that the Stephanie Miller newscast provides.
Thank you.
Because if I say otherwise, I'm fired.
See how you like life without it. Let's go to XL in New Orleans. He's the official left-wing trucker of the Stephanie Miller show now. We've had a right-wing trucker this morning. Hello, XL.
Hey, Steph, I figured I'd call you to keep some balance here. I'm a right, left winger, and I just wanted to tell you that I've been, 28 years now, I've been on that socialized medicine. I'm retired out of the Air Force, and I don't have nothing against socialized medicine. It's been really good to me for 28 years. I just wanted to make a comment regarding Glenn Beck. What is this deal? Is he on the cover of Time magazine, right?
Yes, he's on the cover of the latest Time.
So how are we supposed to take him, a clown with the red ball, or is he supposed to take him serious? Because I'd like to have been in that board meeting when they was deciding how they going to spend this guy. Is he supposed to be a clown with the red ball?
That would have been more helpful if they would have put a clown nose on him and some floppy shoes, so at least we all understand what we're looking at. Okay, let's go to Dick in Massachusetts on healthcare. Hello, Dick. Welcome.
Hi. Well, the first order of business on this healthcare debate should be equality. Everyone should get the same deal. We should be entitled to pay the same for any government-offered plan, even if we don't work for government.
Yep, well, that's the idea. The Senate Finance Committee voted yesterday along party lines to reject an amendment by Orrin Hatch, one of 500 offered by Republicans to slow walk the process. They voted to reject an amendment that would have delayed coverage for the uninsured if a million or more people who now have insurance wound up having to pay higher premiums as a result of the legislation.
That ensures Americans can keep the coverage that they have. This is one of the major points that the president has made over and over and over, and I think we ought to at least try to help live up to that if we can.
They are not interested in health insurance reform of any kind.
Right. You know, in theory, what Orrin Hatch proposed would be great.
Yes.
However, that's not what he wants.
No.
Exactly. Julie in Seattle, one of the fine Americans that listens to the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph, did you see the nice woman at the town hall ask Eric Kander for a dollop of healthcare gruel for her unemployed relative with stomach cancer who needs surgery right away? For fun, I checked the eligibility requirements for government programs she might be eligible for, as Representative Kander so helpfully suggested. Under Virginia Medicaid, unless in addition to cancer the woman's also pregnant, there is no, meaning zero, government health care assistance program for non-disabled adults under 65. In Eric Cantor land. It will kick in soon enough because Medicaid may pay for her hospice care if she sells everything she owns and dies real, real poor. Oh, I forgot charity. Why don't more people think of that? Thanks, Representative Cantor, for the helpful suggestions. Perhaps she could stand out in front of one of those fancy Virginia mega churches with a sign over her tumors, Cantor sent me, and need cancer surgery on the other. Sick of health care, sicker of Republicans, Julie in Seattle.
Yeah.
She sent an article along about that whole Patricia Churchill was the woman that stood up. She relayed a story about a close family member who recently lost a high-paying job and her health insurance. Churchill told Cantor her relative was dying of stomach tumors and needs an operation as soon as possible. Cantor responded by suggesting that Churchill's relative should, quote, seek existing government programs.
Such as?
Or find charity.
Yeah.
Cantor has said that he cannot support a health reform bill with a public option. But despite his political opposition to government insurance programs, Cantor then emphasized to Churchill that every American should be given an option for health care, including a government program. What? That's exactly what we're proposing.
Like maybe the program that Eric Cantor is on, being a government employee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, these people.
Really... Okay. Let's go to Paul in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello.
Hey, guys. I just want to compliment Barack on this overwhelming reform. You know, there's nothing like going after the poorest Americans for $958 a year payable to the IRS. Subject to penalties and interest if they don't get
health care. What are you talking about?
Jim, they're going to force Americans to buy health care. Chris, and if you don't buy your health care, you're fined $958 in penalties and interest to the IRS. By the way, if you make $12 an hour, it'll take you 3 weeks to pay Obama's fine.
You're exempt if you make below a certain amount.
Well, we do make below a certain amount, Chris. Jim, I saw you all rubbing elbows with so many millionaires over there. You guys need to wake up.
What?
Yeah, we rub elbows with millionaires. Oh, boy.
Well, whatever. You guys are not in touch because the little person in this country is going to get hurt severely by this bill. If you make $12 an hour, it will take you 3 weeks to pay the Obama fine.
Paul, I just told you the poorest among us are going to be exempt. What about that don't you understand?
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? It was just... Okay.
He doesn't believe it. You know why? Because we people are commiecrats.
Yes, that's and it. And we rub elbows with millionaires.
Communists. Well-known millionaire elbow rubbers.
I sometimes do. We've had George Soros on and Jason Alexander, and I always ask him for money, but...
And Peter says no.
I don't think Jason Alexander has as much money as George Soros.
Stand-up news next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! 6 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president at the UN yesterday.
I called for this one so that we may address at the highest level a fundamental threat to the security of all peoples and all nations, the spread and use of nuclear weapons.
He's a commiecrat like us. Buddy in Columbus on the president and nukes. Hello, buddy.
Do you know how big that is, what the president just did yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest things in the history of the world. Because if nuclear weapons were used, we could end life on this planet.
Mm-hmm. We would end life on this planet.
And then he goes up there and he gets a unanimous agreement. Russia, China, France, everybody. Okay, fine, let's get rid of them. I mean, what a class.
But what about Acorn? All right, thank you. What? He just stopped the world from nuclear annihilation.
Whatever.
Okay. Oh, some breaking news, by the way, from right-wing world. Bill O'Reilly cited a poll that said, a study that says Fox News is the most credible news source.
Yeah.
From Sacred Heart University
in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Yes.
Poll.
Well, Bill O'Reilly conveniently forgot to mention that Fox News is also the television news organization trusted the least. Just over one quarter, 26.2% named Fox News, the news organization they trusted the least.
He left that part out.
He did leave that part
out.
I'm
sure that was an oversight.
Just some study of some kind showing how incredibly credible Fox News is. Okay. Wow.
It's so easy to shoot them down, though.
Yikes.
They're computers. You know, you can look stuff up.
Yeah. All right. It's Friday. That means it's time for Beaver Stack. Julie writes, Staff, the Oregon State College team competing in the big Red Bull soapbox race in L.A. this weekend built a 176-pound cart that looks like a giant special beaver made out of Grampy's worn-out Barca lounger with Google Eyes glued on it. Since USC is also racing, a collision with a Trojan seems inevitable.
Oh.
The story is entitled Beaver Believers. You're one, right, Jim?
Yes.
West Lynn's Jeff Wilson will race in a beaver-shaped soapbox through downtown L.A. this weekend in a Red Bull contest. The idea is a cross between being students at Oregon State and a thrift store button that said Eager Beavers on it, said Wilson. The 3 foot wide, 3 inch, 3 foot by 6 inch tall by 6 foot long. That's a big beaver. Furry.
Nice beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Furry beaver mobile, complete with eyes, teeth, and a broad tail, was constructed in Wilson's garage in West Lynn. Did you ever
construct a beaver
in your garage?
No.
You had a garage band. Didn't you have groupies?
No.
The 176-pound eager beaver will race against 46 other crafts. That is 176 pounds of beaver.
That's a lot of beaver.
That is
a whole lot of beaver.
On you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's Friday, so it's a story about a sex cult leader. Police in Papua New Guinea are hunting the leader of a cult who promised villagers a bumper banana harvest if they had sex in public. Oh, they fell for that again. The man and his followers fled naked into the wilderness when police tried to arrest them over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He used his two wives as a human shield to avoid being shot at by the police. See, nice. There is some family values there. There's a believer in the sanctity of marriage there.
And a believer in beaver.
That's a beaver believer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, Kate?
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. British hotels said items taken by guests during the past year include towels, toiletries, light fixtures, sex toys, and a stuffed wild boar's head.
We go back one.
I'm sorry.
Sex toys? What?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I didn't even know those came, so to speak, with some hotel rooms.
Oh, dear.
How did I know there might be alcohol involved in the wild boar head? A drunken guest attempted to take the stuffed boar's head from a billiard room. We have, who do we have?
The policeman talking to him. Yeah.
Right, everybody stand back. What's all this then? Thank you for coming, officer. Someone's nicked our boar's head. They've taken your boar's head, have they? Bloody bastards. How can you enjoy a nice cup of an afternoon without the stuffed remnants of a wild pig's head staring down at you? Have they no respect for tradition? They've also taken all of our bath towels and robes. What the hell is wrong with this country? If it's not nailed down, the miserable sods take it upon themselves to relieve this fine establishment of everything that makes it an enjoyable place to stay. And the sex toys. As I was saying, must they take... Sorry, what? Come again? The sex toys, sir. We offer sex toys for rent. Sex toys? For rent? Yes, sir. Who in their right mind would consider renting a used sex toy? Don't they know what it's been? They're very popular, sir. What if it happened to nice little chocolates on the pillow? Who wants to find a vibrating plastic phallus covered in astroglide where their head will be resting? Right, I'm confiscating the lot. The Mr. Happy, the ball gag, the Benoit balls, the rabbits, the strap-ons, the nipple clamps. But, sir, it's evidence. A crime has been committed. And I was never here, right? Right, you are, sir. Right. Oh, do you have any astroglide, sir? Yes, sir. Here's a 2-litre bottle. Thank you. Oh, and you were never here, sir. Yes. Right. Off we go.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
They actually had sex toys for rent.
For rent.
That's I don't know that that's hotel, the most sanitary... Yeah.
Wow.
Huh? There's some.
Wait,
yeah. Hmm. I think I stayed at a hotel in New York that that had sex toys. Yeah.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. Huh. Well, I mean, it was a nice hotel, actually. It wasn't a seedy hotel.
All right. I would think that would be sort of a bring-your-own. Bring your own ST.
Make a note of it. Mm-hmm.
And Astroglide makes another appearance on the Stephanie Miller News.
Wow, we're going to get a whole new box.
That's the official personal lubricant of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, exactly, because of my brilliant idea of why I said, why don't they just make the ships slipperier to avoid the Somali pirates?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and
I thought,
took
was,
your
a,
advice,
I thought was a Jim Dandy idea to send a, you know, a flotilla of sorts from West Hollywood with Astroglide to... Okay, the president at the UN yesterday. Mm-hmm. President Obama speaking at the UN yesterday.
I have promised that we will pursue a new agreement with Russia to substantially reduce our strategic warheads and launchers.
Why isn't he working on important stuff?
Like Acorn.
Yeah, President.
This is not about singling out individual nations. It is about standing up for the rights of all nations who do live up to their responsibilities. The world must stand together, and we must demonstrate that international law is not an empty promise, and the treaties will be enforced.
What a commie.
He's a commie-crat like us, apparently.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Hugo Chavez, did you see he announced that it does not smell of sulfur anymore?
Yeah.
Like it did when George Bush was there. We have Hugo Chavez yesterday.
Just as I think President Obama is an intelligent man. And I hope God will protect Obama from the bullets that killed Kennedy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
I hope Obama will be able to look and see, genuinely see what has to be seen and bring about a change.
Yeah, perhaps don't mention Obama and bullets if you've been watching the Tea Parties and the 9/12 rallies and such.
I mean, there was Dallas was a hotbed of right-wing activity in 63. Very similar to what's going on now.
Should we play the original Hugo Chavez Diablo comment about George Bush?
Yes, because there's a fart joke in it.
Ayer vino el diablo aquí.
The devil came here yesterday.
Yep.
Ayer estuvo el diablo.
Yesterday, the devil came here.
Here.
Right here.
Here.
Right here. Yes. Lugar,
right here. And it smells of sulfur still today.
Okay. But it doesn't smell like that anymore.
No.
It doesn't smell of sulfur here anymore.
It's the same lady.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell of sulfur.
Right here.
It's gone. No, it smells of something else. It smells of hope.
Oh, the UN comes in scratch and sniff now.
And she still couldn't stifle the laughter. Did you hear her just
I think she enjoys her job.
Yeah.
I think she enjoys translating.
For Hugo Chavez.
I think he makes her giggle.
Yeah.
I think, you know, later in the evening, dinner with her husband, she's still giggling.
Uh-huh.
You'll never guess what Hugo said today.
It smells of sulfur. Oh, honey, Hugo, tell another fart joke. Oh, my God. Okay, let's go to George and Tempe. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, George.
God, you guys are having way too much fun today.
I'm giving the money back.
Hey, I don't know. What I'm more ashamed about this morning is to be an Arizonan because of John Kyle, or to be a Jew because of Eric Cantor.
You may need to renounce both this morning.
Yeah, I may. You have to remember something. I think most people really are happy with their health care only because they don't directly pay for it, and they never have really used it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so many people who are not sick, who have not gotten severely sick, and that's most of the people who have health care, they don't understand what's going to happen when they do try and use it.
Yep.
And it's an issue that we've not, you know, that's something we've not gotten a message out about either.
Yep, absolutely, George. Thank you. Let's go to Kathy in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Kath.
Welcome. Good morning, guys.
Thank you.
I just was responding to the gentleman earlier who said that there was going to be a tax or a fee, and how could we possibly afford that? It seems to me that we need to do a better job of explaining that the public option is really going to be paid for by the premiums, like all of us who don't have insurance would want to buy public option because it's going to be more affordable than the private option, because the private option is making 30% profits and the public option is not.
That's the point.
And people who choose neither one of those, you know, if you don't want to buy the public option and you don't want to buy the private option, then you're going to end up in the ER and we're all going to pay for you. Why shouldn't we charge you a fee?
Yep, I agree with you. Thank you. By the way, Senate Democrats continued pounding home the line that because Republicans have spent decades working to weaken Medicare, which is true,
mm-hmm.
they can't be trusted now when they say they want to help seniors. I mean, it really is. You made this point earlier, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's spokesman said, it's interesting to see that Senate Republicans' intense focus on seniors, despite their philosophy of opposing any efforts to strengthen Medicare. Republicans have opposed Medicare from the beginning, and now they seem to be in the midst of an epiphany. We don't buy it, and neither will America's seniors. Someone should ask Senate Republicans why they've spent so much of the last four decades refusing to join Democrats in protecting Medicare. I mean, it really is unconscionable that they're scaring seniors when they've been the ones that, if they had their way, there would be no such thing as Medicare in the first place. Speaking of which, pulling the plug on grandma and fear-mongering, guess who's in trouble in 2010?
Who?
Grassley.
Chuck Grassley?
His Astley, maybe Grassley. His poll numbers appear to be slipping even before any of his declared opponents have built up name recognition.
Wow.
A Rasmussen poll shows his support at 56% against Bob Krause at 30%. No one's said exactly. He's a complete unknown. When they did a matchup against Vilsack, he barely won. If they find a name opponent, he could. His aforementioned Astley.
Could be Grassley.
Mm-hmm. Feel free to use that at your office party. His support has sunk to this low without an opponent that most people have even heard of. It's pretty surprising. Since January this year alone, Grassley's approval rating has dropped 18 percentage points, and his disapproval rating has increased by the same amount.
While the president's ratings are going up. Mm. Huh, interesting.
Mm. Mm. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, Republicans, they would like us to focus on Afghanistan and forget health care for now. Let's do that next, shall we, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian John Fugelsang coming up from the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International.
Yes.
In just a moment. Kurt in Minnesota. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Say, you guys got all excited about Barack Obama at the UN and calling for an elimination of nuclear weapons. And
much as Ronald Reagan did.
Yeah, admirable goal. Admirable goal. I admit, but how's he going to do this exactly? I mean, the nuclear genie is out of the bottle, okay? Nobody is going to put it away, especially North Korea and Iran.
You know, Kurt, I actually read a good piece about this, and I forget if it was Newsweek or Time now, that, you know, I actually get some of your points that, you know, they're saying the dictators of today aren't necessarily crazier than anybody else, Stalin or whoever, and that in some cases it obviously is a deterrent and that people aren't that crazy.
Well, I don't know about that. Kim Jong-il, he isn't real stable. And I'm not so sure about Ahmadinejad either. I wouldn't bet that he's playing with a full deck.
They're crazier than Stalin or Mao, or, I mean,
Stalin and Mao were at least controlled. Right. I believe these people are not.
Ahmadinejad really isn't in control of everything, though. It's really
right.
The
mullahs.
Exactly.
He's really just kind of a figurehead.
Yeah. Mouthpiece.
Exactly.
Really big, loud mouthpiece.
Republicans call for more focus on Afghanistan, not health care. I wonder, probably because, first of all, anything that could kill health care would be a good thing for them.
Yeah. Nuclear war would be great if it killed health care for Republicans.
The boner said, with all the attention there is on health care, the attention that needs to be paid to what's happening in Afghanistan isn't happening. That should be on the top of our list, apparently, Jim.
Should be on the top of our list! Your troops!
yeah, people have been paying attention to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, well, Michael, did you see Michael Moore on CNN talking about Afghanistan?
He's got to bring the troops there home. Otherwise, we will stop thinking of this war as Bush's war, and it will become Obama's war. Mm. This is a losing proposition. He must know this. History has proven nobody can win there.
Except Alexander the Great. The last Westerner to win in Afghanistan.
The Greek, as you called him.
Mike and Humboldt, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, I've been self-employed up in Humboldt here for 22 years. A couple of years ago, my 15-year-old got hurt on somebody else's property. I've been paying premiums for 20 years at the time. He incurred $45,000 worth of medical bills for a partial splenectomy. Great health care up here, but my insurers only paid for half. I thought I was, you know, fairly well insured. They only paid for half. Right. I had to take the property owners to court because the property insurance is set up to be adversarial. If their property insurance doesn't want to pay, then you got to go to court.
Oh, trust me. If you heard my fallen tree story from at my house, I hear I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Right, so jury trial, I lose. I owe the hospitals $22,000. Fine, I'll pay them. I'm going to pay them off, but I'm now uninsured. I'm not going to pay premiums while I'm paying. So I'm a single payer at this point.
Wow, I'm sorry,
Mike. That's the way the system works. I mean, the hospital made me a fairly good deal, you know, so I'm going to pay them off over time, and everybody else got paid off. But it's you don't know what you're into until something really happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, very good point. Thank you for that. Guess what? Aerosmith rocker Joe Perry is in D.C. for Rockstars of Science event, and he's going to meet Senator John McCain. He met him. Oh, actually, he already met him, and he posted a picture on his Twitter account. You know, you would think John McCain, being his age and shrinking, as people of that age do, would be a more of a fan of mini Aerosmith. Just saying. I don't know. That was an excuse to make a joke about
it. It's a very tiny guitar.
Grampy's a little grapefruit head when he's driving. Okay, 28 minutes after the hour. Comedian John Fugelsang next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm not ordinarily attracted to women like you, but I've got to say, you are very sexy.
Things that make us laugh during the commercial breaks. Somebody put a dachshund puppy in a hot dog bun. Oh, not since Cats Who Look Like Wilford Brimley.com have we laughed and laughed.
You know, I'm going to put that up in my Twitter feed.
He's just smiling.
Look for it in a few minutes. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
Boy. Oh, right. And a surprising number of cats do look like Hitler.
That's right.
As well. Cats Who Look Like Hitler.com. We highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things hilariously funny, John Fugelsang is live in our New York bureau. Hello, John.
Greetings, Mooks. How you doing?
Good morning. You know, it's good to have you on the week of crazy speeches, including Sarah Palin and Gaddafi at the UN.
I don't know where to start with this week. This week was the week we found out Mama Cass was the wholesome one in the band. It's been insane. I mean, Gaddafi, it was kind of interesting because he's been calling me wanting to crash at my place. I'm like, dude, I said no, but when I first flipped on, I actually, the guy had so much eyeliner on, I thought it was a Cure concert, and so I was watching, wondering why I wasn't more depressed. It's pretty amazing, and, you know, here in New York, Gaddafi can't really understand why New Yorkers take it personally that he, you know, helped bomb a plane out of the sky and gave the bomber a hero's welcome when he was released. So he's been running around trying to find a place to go, and so far the UN has been the warmest welcome he's had. But
yes.
I swear to God, if he had any more makeup on, I was going to pitch a tent. It was pretty.
And he's a birther. Who knew? He referred to the president as this Kenyan.
Oh, I know. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Boy, that's what we need, more birthers. Right after Orly Tates last week got laughed out of court,
yeah,
which was a good thing, because if you've got a nest of birthers, you got to take out the queen.
Hey, what the flark. Now,
even the queen.
Caribou Barbie, meanwhile, at the speaking in Japan, that was, what was
China.
That exactly? Oh, excuse me, China.
Well, yeah, that was, here's how it works, you liberal freedom haters. If the Dixie Chicks criticize a president overseas, it's treason,
mm-hmm.
but if Sarah Palin does it, it's patriotism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
That's how it works.
Yes.
She was talking about how there was too much regulation, and she was doing, one of the current racism light techniques is to say that the financial crisis was brought on by banks giving home loans to minorities
right.
who couldn't afford it, and we're going to be hearing a lot more of this, and that's the blame for everything. We had regulation in this country from FDR to Reagan. Reagan dismantled all of it,
right.
and then we had the charming crises we've seen in the last 25 years, and these guys have proven they're not capitalists. They can't function without regulation, because blaming Obama for this financial crisis is like blaming the guy who cooked your dinner because breakfast sucked. It's got nothing to do with him.
Yeah, exactly. So the health care debate, obviously, there was some nasty man fights yesterday. We and also Olympia Snow, of course, in the middle of things, talking about, well, she said, you know, she's trying to do this trigger for the public option. Nancy Pelosi said no way yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Olympia Snow's remarkable. She's the one woman in Washington, D.C. that every Democrat thinks they're going to get lucky with. And I'm afraid she's not as bipartisan curious as they're all hoping. The funny thing about watching the hearings has been, aside from the fact that I think they're being sponsored by Ambien, if you watch the hearings, every senator now has someone behind them with a BlackBerry clicking constantly.
Right.
Behind every senator, there's an aide constantly texting or emailing someone. I mean, the people in the room are ignoring the hearings, you know? Like, what's the hope for the rest of the Americans?
Yeah. If Jim Bunning is dozing off during his own speech, are the chances the rest of us are even going to be able to pay attention?
It's nice to see a Republican in the majority again. But you know what? It's really offensive, and you got to imagine a world where if in this country all we had to send a letter was FedEx or UPS, and that's it, and we'd gone a couple hundred years with only FedEx or UPS, and that's all you get to send your letters, your cards, your bills. And then the government says, we want to introduce a public option, a post office. People scream and say, no way. But that's exactly what we're looking at right now. And I'm going to be pretty crushed if we get no public option but do get a Saw 6, because it's not looking too good.
Speaking of the Senate, we have a new member. Did you see Paul Kirk, Democrat of Massachusetts, yesterday?
This appointment is a profound honor. And I accept it with sincere humility. I want to express my thanks as well to the leadership and members of the Great and General Court who enabled Senator Kennedy's last public wish to become a reality.
So thank God we finally did the kind of political power play that Republicans do.
Well, yeah, I do have an issue with it because we know that back in 04 when Kerry was running, it was the Massachusetts Democrats who put this law into place that a Republican governor at the time, Romney, couldn't impose his own replacement, and they would have to have a special election. So right. The Democrats are kind of guilty of the same sins. But what's good is that now we've got another seat in the Senate, and this is a guy who was on Kennedy's staff for many years. I think it's great that even after a Kennedy male dies, his staff keeps on working.
Hi, come on now, John Fugelstein.
It's a very positive thing. It augurs well for the health care bill to have an extra vote there.
All right. Tracy in California, you're on with John Fugelsang. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
I was calling because I'm just furious with the fact that, you know, these guys have all to say about what we should be doing in Afghanistan and how we need to protect the home front, but not one person has said one thing about the pretty obvious attempt that was thwarted here right on our home soil.
Where was that? What are you talking about?
The whole terrorism plot that was being planned, and they've arrested the guy, and they're finding all these different components and, you know.
Oh, this current one, the current one you're talking about. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing that I think we've always said. You know, this is not a military situation. The war on terror is we need intelligence. That's what's going to win that.
And he paid attention to the intel.
Yep, absolutely.
Duh.
All right. Yeah, duh. John Fugelsang, sorry I hung up on you by accident.
Duh.
Okay, I enjoyed the conversation. It is a law enforcement issue. You know, Molly Ivins, before she died, said Korea was a war we call the police action. The war on terror is a police action we're calling a war. And it's nice to see that there are non-military solutions to this problem because that's the only ones that will work.
Right. I mean, you know, George Bush obviously tried a military solution after 9/11. And, you know, Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar are still on the loose, you know. The guys that did the bombings when Clinton was in office, they're in jail now.
Well, in fairness, I think Osama bin Laden is dead because he puts out 6 tapes a year, and the only other guy to do that is Tupac. But you're right. And it's clear that this isn't going to work. You know, you can't out-thug these guys. You can out-bribe them for a while. The only way you can possibly have anything called victory in Afghanistan is if you legalize heroin and all opiates in the country, because then the people will support you. Otherwise, it's going to be the same thing we've seen going on and on and on. These people want to grow their poppies and sell them and keep heroin in the world. And we want to have an oil pipeline to the Caspian Sea. That's it. There's not going to be any compromise. And it's nice to see that Obama, I think, took a good hard look at how corrupt this election was with Bush's evil puppet, Karzai. I don't mean to insult Chucky and other evil puppets. But we can only hope.
Now, you know, if you watch Fox News like we do, what the Fox? The biggest story in the country, of course, is Acorn.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I love. So, you know, everybody went hysterical, and they banned the funding for Acorn and yada, yada. It turns out that might be unconstitutional, actually, first of all.
Well, what's hilarious is if you ban funding for every organization that's broken federal law, there go all your military contractors. There goes Halliburton, who's been ripping off our soldiers for so long to no discernible outrage from Fox News. I don't know. I get Fox News in the original German, but I haven't heard anything about it.
But here's the thing. First of all, they busted themselves on the voter fraud thing. You know, nobody voted illegally. And then this latest thing, a couple of employees get caught on tape doing something. The president calls for an investigation. It's like, literally, and it's like the biggest issue in America, if you watch.
You know why this is. First off, it wasn't voter fraud. It was voter registration fraud. And it's an important distinction to make because there was no voter fraud.
Yep.
Acorn paid some people to go around with a clipboard. They got lazy and wrote in Mickey Mouse as a registration. They still got paid. No one voted illegally. But Fox News doesn't want you to know that. This is all about one thing, keeping black folks and poor folks from registering to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Remember back 20 years ago, George Bush Sr. vetoed the Motor Voter Bill, which was a bill in the Senate that would automatically register to you to vote whenever you got your driver's license renewed. Bush vetoed it because he said, we can't force people to vote, which it didn't do. That was a lie. It just got people registered. And that's all this is historically, the Republican Party trying to keep low-income and minorities from registering the vote.
Because they vote Democratic.
Yeah,
exactly right.
You go.
And, you know, I say maybe if Acorn kills as many civilians as Blackwater, they can get their funding back.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. John Fugelsang, when we come back, we will get your take on the horror that is Tom DeLay's spandex-clad ass and its threat to America. As we continue, 42 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, sometimes I get this feeling deep down inside. And it's a...
Stephanie Miller.
It's not a party till comedian John Fugelsang gets there. That's the only thing I know about parties.
Damn right.
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour. John, now that you've moved back to New York, I miss having you to the parties at my house.
Oh, I miss having you every day, Steph. Mm. You have no idea. But I'll be back soon enough. All my stuff still lives in L.A., and I hope to be reunited with it soon.
Speaking of L.A. and entertainment, what did you think of Tom DeLay on Dancing with the Stars?
Well, I have it on authority. I know some people over there at the show, and it turns out he only took the job because he thought ABC stood for Abramoff Bribe Channel. Now, I did you watch his performance?
I did. I found it quite disturbing.
I thought it was fantastic. Apparently, the only delay in his life was coming out of the closet. let me tell you.
Yeah, I heard there was flirting with who is it? Bruno?
One yes, of the, yes, there was.
Very Bruno Carnioli. I was like, get a room, please. I mean, who do you have to bribe to do that? You know, it's fantastic to see this because I'm pretty sure that we can now look forward to seeing Tom DeLay be Grand Marshal of the Dallas Pride Parade in 18 months. It was hilarious. I mean. Why is it the biggest homophobes are the biggest queens? Someone's got to explain it to me.
Well, did you see him on a Hardball with, you know, holding his little dance shoes up, like making, you know, the homophobic sort of smears? Like, look at that, I got little pumps, Chris. Look at all the pumps I got to wear.
Yeah, of course. But he's a family values guy. You know, it's like I had to watch this guy on ABC. I had to watch Glenn Beck with Katie Couric on CBS. And I had to watch Rush Limbaugh and Jay Leno. I am so tired of the liberal media.
Yeah, I know. I heard. Did you watch that? I heard he was on Leno.
Yeah, he ran over a cardboard cutout of Al Gore, and I'm like, how do you tell the cardboard one from the real one? But yeah. You know, it's one more reason to go to bed at 9:59 if he's putting Limbaugh on.
Speaking of, because you talk about, obviously, a lot of things, speaking of religious values and such, conservative Christians, a key base, obviously, for the Republican Party, said they're targeting 16 Democrats, because, as you know, only the Republicans have the family values, John.
Oh, of course they do, yeah. That's what I was just talking about with John Ensign. But go on.
Yes. Is speakers at this summit they had recently, the values voters, did you see that little parade?
Yes, it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. They attacked the Obama agenda, particularly health care reform, because, you know, Jesus would be against health care reform, as you know.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, Stephanie, because mm-hmm. Jesus would be, and that's why I have started my new nonprofit group, Prayer Against Care. We are devoted passionately to making sure that we continue to worship Jesus as a God, but not follow his teachings, because, frankly, real Christians need to ignore Jesus. Don't trust anything Jesus tells you to do. I think his real name is Jesus. Jesus was anti-violence. He was anti-death penalty. He said people should pay their taxes. He said take care of the poor, and he gave free health care to the sick. Now, why would any Christian follow a man like that?
Yeah, it strikes me that private health insurance companies would be considered money changers, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, this is all part of the same logic of the 9/12 rally. We didn't get to talk about this last week, but that was the most offensive thing I've ever seen. Glenn Beck and his ilk saying we have to get back to the values of 9/12. I didn't know those values were drawing Hitler mustaches on a black man and protesting giving care to the sick. What those guys did last week at that march was exploit 9/11 like nobody ever has before, and they used 9/11 to cynically put forth their current regime du jour. Somewhere in hell, Hitler is so embarrassed that birthers are drawing his own mustache on a black man.
Yeah.
But remember, Glenn Beck has exploited 9/11 so bad he should go sell bootleg T-shirts at Ground Zero at this point.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Are not Christian. They are not Christian, and we have to take Jesus back from the Pharisees.
Look at you, God warrior, this morning. That's right.
I'm so tired of it. I'm so anti-hypocrisy. It's like, stop. I'm a progressive. I want to be attacking Democrats, not defending them. Give me a break.
I'm a God warrior! Yes, you are, John Fugelsang. Here's the thing, you know, I at this values voter summit, I mean, it really is amazing how single issue they are. There was a story that said much of the conservative opposition to Obama's health care drive has been driven by conservative Christians who claim it will all lead to federal funding for abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, it won't. And secondly, so nobody gets to have health care? Because,
exactly. folks, tell your conservative Christian friends and loved ones. And when you have that one cousin who sends you those emails all the time, let them know. Back in the 70s, Congress passed the Hyde Amendment, done by our late friend Henry Hyde, the Clinton impeacher adulterer. And the Hyde Amendment said back in the 70s became law that no federal funds can ever be used for abortion. It's been on the books for 30 years already. There's already a law in place. It's not going to happen. They are lying to you, Republicans.
That's right.
Well, it really is. It's such a, because, you know, Chris, I think as you brought up, I mean, obviously some people's health insurance now covers abortion services, but you know, they're acting it like this is something they're specifically putting in that, you know, will cause more abortion. It's just completely untrue.
Well, also, those are private, private insurance plans. You
exactly.
Know. Yeah, so, yeah, if you want to choose one that covers your abortion, that's fine. It's a private plan.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Jesus never mentioned abortion, was pretty specific about not killing the sinner. Okay, Christians, if there was no death penalty, Jesus would still be here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you need to take your organ back out. Sorry. Oh. I like to do Religion Stack with John Fields.
Well, work it out, please.
Yeah. They on the other side, they think this kind of thing is okay. A Kentucky coach baptizes students without parents' permission.
A mother, yes, I heard about this.
A mother is angry about a trip led by the head football coach at Breckenridge County High School. That's in Kentucky. The coach took about 20 players on a school bus late last month to his church. Where nearly half of them, including her son, were baptized. She said her 16-year-old son was baptized without her knowledge and consent. She is upset a public school bus was used to take players to a church service and that the school's district's superintendent was there and did not object.
Well, in fairness, this coach did the right thing because it's a public school. They're so underfunded they don't have showers anymore for the team. So they were just rinsing.
That's right.
And meanwhile, of course, you know, a lot of their time and effort is spent on gay bashing, is spent on trying to take, you know, rights away from gays. Here is a story that shows how sacred any marriage is, John Fugelsang, even a gay wedding. Gay Iowa weddings held in Mobile Sweater Museum. You see, gay people can make marriage just as tacky and meaningless as straight people can. An Iowa woman said she's begun marrying gay couples in a recreational vehicle that also serves as a museum for plastic jewel-encrusted sweaters.
An RV?
Yes.
They get married in an RV.
Yes.
Oh.
Leslie Hall, an aspiring rapper from Ames, Iowa, said the $299 gem sweater wedding of grands package includes a ring bearer, a cake from Dairy Queen, two songs performed by her, and a ceremony in any style chosen by the couple. Isn't
and a
that?
Gem sweater so you can use your bedazzler.
That's right.
We're in Iowa.
Oh, my God. An aspiring rapper from Ames, Iowa?
Well, isn't that the hotbed of all the best rap?
Sure.
Just the racial tension, not so much rap.
Yeah.
speaking of family values, how about this one, a fun stack, John Fugelsang? Authorities say a Largo man was arrested after being accused of leaving two small children in his vehicle while he was in a Clearwater strip club. The report said he was in the club drinking at the bar for 30 to 60 minutes while he left the kids in the car. He left the kids in the car, for God's sakes.
Well, I've got to check out on Fox News and see how Hannity blames Obama for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, this is the heartland. These are the family values Christians. And, you know, it's like you can't use Jesus to say that being gay is wrong, just to go back to the previous story. You can't do it. Jesus was never anti-gay, not for a second. That's all Old Testament, and it's all laws no one follows, and a little bit of St. Paul, who is most likely a closeted gay man in the first century Holy Land. That kind of explains his hang-ups. Jesus never said a single anti-gay word in his life. He said to love everyone. And, you know, the Bible does forbid men with men, but nothing about women with women.
Yeah.
I find it curious the Old Testament and Vivid Video have the same policy.
Well, I mean, you know, this has been actually not a great week in terms of gay rights. I don't know if you saw the new Republican governor of Arizona has rescinded benefits for same-sex couples.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it? Oh, Janet Napolitano, Chris, right, had put it into place.
Right, Janet Napolitano.
And another one, John, that said God made her. Put her in this position as governor of, in order to gay bash, apparently.
Really? Well, and she should ask God why he keeps making all the gays.
Yeah, exactly.
God seems to be pretty, pretty fond of gay people and marijuana. He puts them everywhere on earth. But, you know, you can say when you look at every recorded human civilization in history, they've all documented same-sex relationships. So a sane person would say, this means it's natural. An insane person says, it means conspiracy. And that's exactly what we're looking at. These people are not Christian, and they're not patriotic.
There you go. John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire. Thanks, as always, my friend. See you next week.
I got a movie tomorrow with the Flyers Club Film Festival. Festival called The Whole Truth. I play two roles in it. If you're in New York City, come on down.
All right, honey. Thank you. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.